Jesus, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. In your name we pray, amen. So have you heard this one? During a violent storm, the captain of the ship realized that his ship was beginning to sink. So he called out, does anyone here know how to pray? One of his men stepped forward and says, aye, aye, captain, I know how to pray. And the captain says, good, you pray while the rest of us put on life preservers. We're one short. Isn't that precisely how the world views prayer? As something we typically neglect until our ship sinks. And then even in that situation, if it's a choice between praying and a life preserver, the world's obviously going to opt for the life preserver. But of course, prayer is much more than that. So today, as you've already figured out, as we continue our series on spiritual disciplines, let's talk about prayer. And think about this for a moment. Many people today are speculating on whether or not aliens exist in outer space. And wondering what it would be like if they do exist. Wondering what it would be like if we were contacted by aliens. And they conclude that such a contact would be world-altering. Then remember, in one sense, this happens every day. There is a being who is other than us, alien to us in many ways, who dwells in heaven, who is infinitely greater than any alien, if an alien does exist, who created everything there is, and he contacts us every day. Every day. And of course, we often take that for granted. So let's talk about prayer and remind ourselves what a wonderful gift it is. That we are commanded to pray, you know full well. But here's where we differ from the world. As I already noted, the world tends to neglect prayer as a general rule, but turns to it when they need help. We, on the other hand, are commanded, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. The command is to pray at all times, not just when we're going through difficult situations. And when you think about it, it's funny, curious, that we are commanded to pray. In some ways, praying is a lot like breathing. When we need to do it, we just do it. We don't even hardly think about it. As the saying goes, there's no atheist in the foxholes. When the shells are falling, soldiers pray. It's as simple as that. So I suppose then the command, pray without ceasing, is a command to pray even when we don't necessarily feel like we need to do so. What do you think? That makes sense to me. I think our relationship with God is not all that different in some ways from our relationships with each other. Husbands and wives sometimes struggle because they don't do what? They don't talk about whatever is going on between them. Parents can forget to tell their children how proud they are of them. We often tell our kids how much we love them, but sometimes we forget to tell them we're proud of them as well. On the other hand, children sometimes forget to tell their parents how much they respect them. They tell us they love us, but they sometimes forget to tell us that they respect us as well. People do us a favor, and we don't always remember to thank them. When I was a teen, I did not want to talk to anyone about anything that mattered to me. Did not know how to do that. And even as a young adult, I did not know how to talk to a person when he or she hurt me or frustrated me. The point is this: we can think of God's command, pray without ceasing, as another burdensome task. or as God's simple invitation for his children to talk to him about everything that's on our heart, everything that's on our mind, and everything that's on his. I don't mean to be flippant or irreverent, but maybe we could translate that verse as, hey kiddos, let's talk. Let's talk. So to repeat myself, unlike the world, we should pray at all times, in all situations. But the command goes even deeper than that. People in the world tend to pray about their circle, them and those that they love. We're called to pray for much more than that. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we are commanded to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving, quite a list, for all people and for those who are in high positions specifically. In other parts of the scriptures, we're commanded to pray for other things as well. And most of the things we're commanded to pray about are beyond our little circle. So when we're commanded to pray always, we're commanded to do it even when we don't feel like doing it, when we don't think we need to do it. But also, we are commanded to do it and pray for those who we wouldn't necessarily think to pray about or for. That's the command. Now, when God commands us to do something, as I said before last week, it is for his glory and for our good. Always. For both. What then is the good that comes from praying continually? Or said another way, why do we need to pray regularly? First of all, we should pray regularly because it satisfies many of our deep inner needs, a selfish reason. One who prays often finds freedom from fear, Psalm 118:5-6, from anxiety, 1 Peter 5:7, from weariness in the inner man, Psalm 138:3, from confusion, Isaiah 58:9-11. And when one prays, he often receives wisdom and understanding, Daniel 9:22-27, a reward, Matthew 6:6, good gifts, Luke 11:13, fullness of joy, John 16:23-24, and according to Philippians 4:4-7, peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can't speak for you, but I like myself best when I'm in prayer. When I'm alone with God, I am the most real, the most humble, the most joyous, and the most holy. Not that I'm that holy, but prayer touches me deep, deep, deep down inside. So we should pray, first of all, for ourselves, for our own personal gain. And secondly, we should pray because prayer ushers us into the presence of God. The one who prays finds God. And this is what God said to the Jews who were in Babylon, whom he was about to discipline, I should say, just before he sent them there, because they had not listened to him. He said to them in Jeremiah 29:10-13, thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, after I punished you for those 70 years, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Haven't you found that to be true in your own life? When you earnestly pray, you find God. And thirdly, we should pray because prayer makes a difference in the lives of others and in the world as a whole. Praying for others can result in their receiving greater wisdom and power, Ephesians 1, 18 through 19. Inward strength, knowledge of Christ's love, filling with God's fullness, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Discernment, approval of what is excellent, filling with the fruits of the Spirit, Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Knowledge of God's will, spiritual understanding, a life pleasing to God, fruitfulness, endurance, patience, joy, Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Love for one another and all people. Holiness before God, 1 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 13. Comfort and establishment in every good work, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17. Love for God, steadfastness in Christ, 2 Thessalonians 3 through 5. And equipment for every good work that is pleasing to God, Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Those are the things that God wants us to pray for others and God wants to do for others when we pray. And of course, prayer can also impact our world. James 5, 17 through 18. Elijah prayed and there was no rain. And then he prayed again and it rained. And of course, it affects the courses of nations. When Moses prayed for his people in Exodus 32, 14, God spared his people. Fourthly, we should pray because prayer delights God. Revelation 5, 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So there is a sense in which our prayers rise up to God like incense. Sweet-smelling incense. I sometimes imagine God kind of wafting the incense, the aroma, towards his nose with his hand and saying as we pray, that's good stuff. So in summary, prayer touches us at a deep level. It ushers us into God's presence. It changes things and pleases God. No wonder Paul said, as we already noted, pray without ceasing. And why Jesus said in Luke 18, 1, always pray and do not lose heart. So we are commanded to pray continually. What then are we promised should we do so? We're promised that God will hear us. The creator of the universe will hear us. Think about how often we feel compelled to talk to someone else. Sometimes something is so funny, we just have to share it with someone or we're going to bust a gut. We just got to tell someone the humorous thing we saw or heard. Other times we want to talk about serious things with serious people. Sometimes we want to hope and dream with someone else. Sometimes we just want to bounce things off of someone as a sounding board. We have someone, don't we? Someone who will always hear us and always care. Think of who that someone is. He is our how much more someone. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask, it will be given to you. God's not a miser. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, if you who are fallen and far from perfect, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If we who are fallen and far from perfect hear others, each other, and care, how much more? How much more does our Lord hear us and care? Indeed, when we are so broken and bleeding, we can't even put into words what we feel, what we think. The Spirit, Romans 8:26, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. when we are broken, leading the how much more someone leads with us and prays the prayers that we don't even know how to pray at the time. Does God hear us when we pray? Absolutely. Absolutely. The how much more God more than hears us. And he loves us more than we can comprehend. So, how do we do it? How do we pray without ceasing? Or at the very least, how do we intentionally make prayer a little bit more a part of our lives? And let me reiterate, to some extent, I am telling you to do what comes naturally. According to the Barna research, 84% of Americans say they pray at least once a week. And this is always my favorite. According to the Psychology Today, 11% of atheists and agnostics say they pray weekly or monthly, and 6% of atheists and agnostics say they pray every day. To some extent, prayer comes remarkably natural to us. We don't need to be told how to pray. We're born spiritual creatures. Anytime we seek help outside of ourselves, the soldier in the foxhole, the student taking the test, that's a prayer. He's as close as a call for help. Anytime we yell the word help, in essence, we're yelling out to God for him to come to our aid. We may not call that prayer, but it is. Prayer is a universal language. Indeed, some of our best prayers are spontaneously, as the situation warrants. With that said, another way we pray, another way we're commanded to pray is intentionally. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. David, Psalm 119:164, prayed 7 times a day. 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous rules. Jesus himself often withdrew to a lonely spot to pray. And in the garden, he said to his disciples, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch, let's be intentional. Pay attention. Be wary, watch, and pray. And why do we need them to be somewhat intentional? Not always, but somewhat intentional, because spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's easy to fall into temptation. So with all that, let me emphasize what I've said for 2 weeks now. There's no right or wrong way to practice our spiritual disciplines. There's no right or wrong way to pray. Some people love to use the acronym ACTS, begin their prayers with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Others like the acronym PRAY. Praise, repent, ask, yield. A person can pray through the Lord's Prayer and think about each phrase. A person can pray through a psalm and think about the phrases as he does so. Some people have a prayer list, some people don't. Some people journal, some people don't. Some people are like the persistent widow in Luke 18, and they bring the same request to the Lord every day until it's answered. Praise God for those people. Other people are like the centurion of Matthew 8. He asked the Lord to do something, and it's a one-and-done type thing. He doesn't feel the need to ask again. Whatever works for you. You have to find your own way. But do be at least a little bit intentional. Every relationship deserves that. And then remember the how much more God, the how much more, not only hears us, he wants to spend time with us, just like we want to spend time with our kids. Yes, we want them to come to us with their needs, their pleas for help and so on, but mostly we just want to spend time with them, don't we? I like what Dr. Owen K. Helsby, he was a Norwegian theologian who lived from 1878 to 1961. I like what he said about prayer. It's not necessary to maintain a conversation when we are in the presence of God with someone we know well. We can come into his presence and rest our weary souls in quiet contemplation and tell him better than words how dependent we are upon him. There comes a time, not so seldom with me at least, when I have nothing more to tell God. If I were to continue to pray in words, I would have to repeat what I've already said. At such times, it is wonderful to say to God, "May I be in thy presence, Lord. I have nothing more to say to thee, but I do love to be in thy presence." I myself have prayed that kind of prayer on more than one occasion. Prayer. You need to pray about this or that. You need to pray more. You need to pray better. Don't you get tired of hearing it? I do. And the thing is, most of what people say, the blah, 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 most of what they say, there's a lot of truth to it. But of course, I also need to read the Word more than I do. I also need to fellowship more than I do. I also need to care for the downtrodden more than I do. I need to share the gospel more than I do. I need to be kinder than I am. I need to be slower to get angry than I am. I need to zip my mouth more than I do, and on and on and on and on. If you are not praying in the manner that God would have you to do, and he tells you to change something, do it. Listen to him. But remember, you can't work on everything all at once, and God never tells his people to do so. He never loads us down with some of the burdens that other people load us down with. Don't let yourself be guilted into doing more than what God tells you to do. But do pray. However that works out for you, do pray. Do pray. How blessed you and I are. We are lucky, stiff little kids who get to hang out with God and talk to him anytime, any place, about anything we want to. Amazing. Simply amazing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. You're never bored with our childlike utterings. You're never distracted by other things when we are talking to you. You're never too busy for us, never too grown up to come down to our level. You are amazing. And the thing is, we can just come to you as we are and pour out our hearts and thoughts to you. We don't have to prepare a speech. We don't have to dress up fancy. We don't have to make ourselves presentable and so on. We don't have to flatter you. We can just come. Little kids to our Abba Father. How cool is that? And it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.